And welcome to Off the Hook Overtime here with Kyle and
yes,
Rob, Gila.
Yeah, they're there.
Well, let them speak for themselves. Okay. And Alex as well. You all there? You all make
Hello.
It? Good. Okay. I'm really sorry about that, by the way. I was facing the other way. I was reading all this material, and the time just went by, and I looked, and we only had 30 seconds left. And Alex, you were making a point. So do you want to finish your point while we wait for phone calls, 802-321-4225?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, and you know, really, you just use any excuse to cut me off.
I would. You're right.
Having your back turned, not looking at the clock, sounds like...
Oh, we seem to have lost Alex. Okay, there. Sorry about that.
No, sorry about that. I think the point I was making with respect to SolarWinds is that this is a supply chain attack, as one of the callers from OTH Overtime mentioned last week, and it's an issue of third party risk. And how do we pass that risk back on? Because it involves a lot of trust. Third party risk in all of the vendors that we use, you know, within an enterprise are all potential vectors of attack, and it's very, very difficult to audit, to supervise, to even understand what the hell is going on with respect to the software that they're putting into our networks, the boxes that they're placing into our networks. And you know, there's no good way to do it. So I've been arguing, you know, at least since 2005, when I published my law review note in the Vermont Law Review, for something akin to software manufacturer liability. For negligence, for glaring security holes, I think there should be some sort of standard of negligence for security issues that arise from terribly coded software. And I'm not saying that SolarWinds was terribly coded. When you have a state-sponsored act or a nation-state, some kind of APT that's funded by a country targeting you, it's very, very difficult to defend, right? Because, you know, the old platitude is, the threat actors, they only have to get it right once. The defenders have to get it right all of the time, right? And there's such a huge attack surface, to use a Cory Doctorow term, and his new book is Attack Surface, for these networks. They're sprawling networks these days. It's very, very difficult to be a defender. I think it's a lot easier to be a pen tester, a lot easier to be an attacker than it is to be a defender. And I say this being a cybersecurity lawyer and somebody who's worn the CISO hat as well.
Okay, first of all, let me give the phone number out one more time because we had a couple of calls we lost. I'm not sure if that was our fault. 802-321-4225. I'd like to hear from our listeners. That's the whole point, actually, of doing this, so we can hear from our listeners since we're not in the studio. But, Alex, let me just ask you, do you think that maybe instead of having these massive companies that cover so many different entities, would we be more secure if there were more of these companies? And that they if you compromised one, you didn't wind up compromising quite as many different end users or institutions that are using those companies.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, look, it's an issue of market share, right? Wherever these boxes, wherever this software has penetrated into markets and verticals, right, then you know, it's more of a risk. And it's more attractive, I think, to an attacker, right? So market share seems to be, to an extent, directly proportional to your value as a target. And that's something I think that, let's say, if I were an underwriter for cyber liability insurance policies right now, I would be taking into consideration. Because, you know, this is going to be a massive cyber liability issue for SolarWinds. And I think it also gets back to the point that I was making earlier, that it's very, very difficult to defend against these types of attacks from extraordinarily sophisticated actors, state-sponsored actors. And that's the very reason why in many of these cyber liability policies, there is a carve-out for being attacked by a nation-state. And essentially, it's the act of war exclusion. If you're being targeted by, if you're an individual company and you're being targeted by a foreign country with sophisticated attackers, it's very likely that you are not going to be able to defend against an attack because they're going to be persistent and they're not going to give up until they find a way in. And therefore, according to the insurance companies, they should not be on the hook to put your legal bills, your forensics bills, and pay for your damages when those attacks occur.
But what if it always always takes the first caller a little extra time to call us. Please Be that first caller, 802-321-4225, because you're the reason we're here to take those phone calls. Go ahead, Kyle.
I just I think it's easier to be forgiving of the company in question since there is no real tangible impact liability, as you phrased it. Like if we were talking about massive lives lost or like tainted water supplies, I think you would have a different tone.
Well, let's see what tone our caller has here. Good evening. Can you hear us? I don't think they can hear us. Is anyone there? Is there somebody on the line, Kyle?
Should be.
Okay. That doesn't sound like a caller. That sounds like feedback of one sort or another. Caller, are you there?
I think the call dropped.
Okay. All right. Technical problems. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Be that first caller so we can make sure everything is working properly. Getting this board to operate is always a challenge, but we did all right the last couple of weeks. So I know there are people out there that want to ask us questions or just want to be a part of the show, which, by the way, is archived along with Off the Hook for each week that we do this. But we're only going to do it for as long as listeners want us to do it, and being part of the show is a part of the broadcast. 802-321-4225.
I'm afraid to touch that one wire that we had trouble with, because if I touch it, I feel like I'll make it worse.
All right, well, here's a call. They're right there.
You're not a voicemail system. What? You need to press 1 to take this call.
What, is a recording calling? We need to press 1 to take the call?
Wait. I'm not doing that until I really hear the scoop.
Just pick up the phone and press 1. What's the worst that can happen? There. All right, we pressed 1. We took the bait.
Hello?
Yeah, oh, okay, who's this?
Oh, hi. Name is Helen. Let me just adjust my phone 1 second.
You see, Kyle? You see? Pressing 1 sometimes is the right thing to do.
I was afraid to even do that, so I'm thankful to...
Let me ask some questions here,
because
I
want
to get to the bottom of this.
Mm-hmm.
Helen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Now, what just happened? You called us, and we got a thing saying you had to hit 1 to hear from you?
No, it was basically, take a chance and see what happens.
You know what it was? It was Google again. It was Google Voice that's making us hit 1 for some reason.
It sounded chipper. I'll do that. I'm committed to doing
it. Why are they making us do that this week?
Let's talk to Helen.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Please.
I'm sorry.
Helen,
where are you calling from, Helen?
I'm in New York State. I'm in the burbs.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, that's good. Good to hear. Are you staying safe?
Well, we're not doing too badly out here because of there's low density, at low density, so it's not quite as bad as in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in the city for a while, and I know what density means.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Are people in your area, are they observing precautions? Are they behaving intelligently?
They are now. They weren't in the beginning, residentially speaking. But there's signs in the stores, no, we can't go into any store without a mask on.
Right.
And I guess that's true in the city also, perhaps?
Very much so, yes. And but, there are always people who feel that somehow it doesn't apply to them, or that the whole thing is a joke or just some kind of a plot, and it's really, it's distressing. It's why we're so far behind, because if we had tackled this intelligently from the beginning, we would not be anywhere near the catastrophic state that we're in right now.
Yeah, I don't understand why the cases are just spiraling out of control across the country when, there's been so much said about being careful. It's disturbing.
It's disturbing, but the reason is right there. It's because people aren't taking it seriously, and because they're being told from the top down that this is nothing to really be worried about. Just look at what Trump has been saying from the beginning. And that's the reason. That's why you're seeing this And countries like New Zealand and Australia that did the right thing. Yeah, they have a problem, but nothing near. Even China, where this began, they tackled it in a way that was effective. And while they've had massive problems, nothing to compare with us. It's astounding.
And I guess they can kind of be as authoritarian, you know, as they want to in some regards. I've been wondering about the, you know, this virus, though, and how it started in China, and just why it's such a doozy, why it's so difficult to, why has it been so difficult to get a vaccine? Where did it, I mean, I've been hearing it's the fault of the bat, the poor little bat. they're always... The much maligned bat.
Yeah, by the way, Helen, if I could just say, somebody on Twitter posted this. They meant to be looking for Christmas hats, and they did a typo, and they typed Christmas bats, and they were really happy they did that because they just saw all these adorable pictures of bats with Christmas costumes on. So if you're looking to feel better about bats, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. Now, was this call-in? Is this simply... Get to know your neighbors time, or was this a continuation, a programming continuation?
Well, theoretically, it's a continuation of the program. Everybody who is listening to the broadcast can also listen on this stream as well. They're both archived. But it's mostly a way for us to talk to our listeners because we can't do that when we're not in the studio. The reason for that is, of course, the FCC requires us not to say certain words, and if somebody were to say one of those certain words, it's a long trip to get to the button to cut them off, and we wouldn't make it in the 7-second delay that we have. So that's why, yeah, we're on the internet now. So it, you know, while we're not going to be talking like sailors, it's still something that we no longer have to worry about.
Talk like pirates.
Well, we could talk like pirates, but let's not.
No, I thought people kind of understood that they were supposed to be careful, or it would. You know,
yeah, but you know, if people don't understand enough to not get a deadly virus by doing the basic precautions, they're sure not going to respect this. So it's unfortunate. Yeah, it's very unfortunate. But you know, as far as just this whole pandemic. And how it's spreading and why it's so difficult as you were asking, I would talk to someone in the medical profession or a scientist and get their theories. Not a politician, not a someone in media that just relies on selling newspapers or scaring people. There are scientific reasons why these things happen. It's not necessarily some kind of a plot. It could be, you know, it could be something engineered, but it's highly unlikely that that is the cause of this. These kinds of things happen every century or so, and the last time it happened was a century ago. So,
yeah. The consensus, from my understanding, is that this was a naturally occurring novel virus. So it was a new virus that had not yet been seen. And in the relative historical time frame we're working with, it was actually developed very quickly using a new vaccine platform called mRNA. And the genetic information about the virus was sequenced quite quickly and posted from Beijing or from China itself at the behest of the world. So a lot of people around the world have been learning more and more about this virus and its variants. Now we have news of mutations and so forth. But definitely ask and get some medical advice and look into what researchers are saying. And they're really learning at an incredible pace. So there's a lot of information out there about it.
Mm-hmm.
Helen, is there anything else you wanted to ask us at Off the Hook?
Well, okay. I was just going to put forward two theories about that, but...
sure, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it seems like there are two theories about the virus. Either somebody walked into the jungle and got bitten by a bat or you know, something, or an intermediary, or, you know, the folks over in... And Wuhan were actually, you know, working on it in a lab with the idea to be safe, you know, to maybe vaccinate their own people.
or it could be something completely different. It's always possible that what we believe is not true, and that happens more often than not. People, any questions that you have for our caller, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I just have the thought that, you know, in the field of virology, which is very interesting, if you talk to a virologist for a while, it's an experience. But the basic fact of the matter is, new viruses are mutating together and popping up in the world all the time. It's just sometimes it's something that doesn't affect people at all. Sometimes it's something that will just give you the sniffles for a day or two, or sometimes it's something that will be really, really serious, like COVID-19. It's just this is one of those occasions on which humanity lost the lottery, as it goes. You know, completely, the complete randomness of how these things evolve just did not work in our favor this time around. And it's just a shame that the response to it has been so politicized, where people are choosing to deliberately do irresponsible things because they think they're making some kind of point,
right,
or owning the other side.
Right, and here we are. That is why we are where we are now. No other reason. So hopefully cooler heads prevail, and we'll get to a better place early next year or throughout the year. It's going to take some time.
Cause confusion.
Well, it doesn't have to be confusing, because the science is pretty straightforward. And it's everything that has happened has been something that has been explained to us by scientists who have said this is what's going to happen next. And no matter how much you object or refuse to abide by the guidelines, that is what's going to happen. And because of the things that we did over Thanksgiving, that's why the numbers are going up now. Things will continue to get worse. Even though we have a vaccine, it's going to take time for that to happen. So the numbers that we're being told to look out for by the scientists are the numbers that we are going to get. It's going to be staggering. It's going to be heartbreaking. We can change that. We can do more. But the way things look right now, I don't really see that happening from the people that refuse to cooperate.
Well, as long as they cooperate, and you cooperate, and I cooperate, and all your, you know, your crew there,
mm-hmm.
I have to say I do enjoy enormously when you guys are on air. I really do enjoy listening. I can't say I understand everything, but I enjoy the conversation. You know, the intelligent conversation. It's really quite nice.
Well, thanks. That makes it worthwhile, because you know, nobody understands everything, and you know, I've talked to. The most intelligent of people on the planet who don't understand the phone system or, you know, or how to make something work on their computer. So nobody knows everything, and we all excel at something. So thank you very much for the call, and please keep listening.
Okay, will do.
All right.
I had one extra question.
Quickly, go ahead.
Okay. Have you all, I mean, I'm sure this is sort of a rhetorical question, been following the Cuba situation and the situation in Guangzhou with the people, the diplomats that got sick.
You mean from the what was it, microwave thing that?
Yes.
Yeah,
we have
been following that, and I think data is still coming in as to what could have caused that and who might be behind it, or if anybody's behind it.
Yeah, close to the heart here. Might want to have maybe you can do a program on that sometime.
All right, we'll consider that. Thanks again for the call.
Yeah, that's actually really an interesting story, that there is a lot of research and concern, specifically for State Department employees who mm-hmm. have not been able to get compensation and help paying medical expenses, believe it or not. But there's been some really outstanding reporting on that issue and what we do and do not know and what the State Department's willing to say, which is some of what we were talking about earlier, the murkiness of actually hearing about mm-hmm. incidents when they happen and where information flows get cut off over things like tradecraft and secret things that can't really be known.
Let me give out the phone number. It's 802-321-4225. Well, there it is. Again, for some reason, Google seems to be requiring us to press 1. Let's see if somebody got through without having to press 1. Good evening. Is anybody there? No, so we have to press 1. God damn it. All right. Try now. Is anybody there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wow. Hi. Okay, so we have to figure out why Google's making us do that.
Yeah,
now.
Sorry for the holdup.
That literally didn't happen last week. Last week we just picked up the phone, and now they threw this monkey wrench at us.
It reverted to some setting.
But for us to do that, we have to pick up a phone and press 1 and then hang it up and hope that the person's
right,
still there.
I'll try to do it quick.
Caller, where are you calling from?
Calling from Nassau County.
Oh, we've heard of it. Very, very exotic, yes. Between Queens and Suffolk.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, it was Officer Joe Bolton was the person you were trying to think of, the personality.
That's right.
WPIX.
Yes.
Years ago.
Yes. Wow, Officer Joe Bolton. Wow.
Right. And, you know, I'm connected to YouTube, and I'm not getting any kind of transmission. I'm just seeing an image of a, it looks like... just a still image. I'm not hearing any audio or seeing any video. Are you having some transmission issues with the overtime?
No. As far as I know, we are. I see there's people on. Are we broadcasting, Kyle? Kyle, you want to share what you're doing?
Audio might not be going out.
Audio might not be going out. Now's a fine time to tell us that. Is that true? I mean, we need to know these things.
Yeah, I just see an image, and it's...
Well, the image...
I don't even know if you guys were on. It's like a green... it looks like one of those things hard to describe.
Oh, great.
It's this green pole, and it's...
Yeah, no, we know what the image is. The image is something
right.
That's...
You guys created the image, right, but that's all I see. I don't... Like, there's no video, there's no audio. It's just
okay, well, there shouldn't be video, but there should be audio, and Kyle is on it right now. And what you have discovered is one of our failings as far as not being able to know when we have audio. YouTube didn't tell us that we didn't have audio going out, so that's a problem right there. That's, again, Google, by the way.
Right. I don't know if you guys know, but... I guess you probably heard about it, but in any case, for anybody that didn't hear about it, I just wanted to let other listeners know that Andrew Cuomo signed legislation suspending the use and directing a study of facial recognition technology in schools.
I heard that.
You guys heard about
it. I heard that. I heard that New York State was the first state to do this.
Yeah, I think that's it's a good first step in the right direction.
Definitely, definitely. Alex, had you heard this? Alex, are you there?
Not actually. No, I did not. I've been in the car for the last several hours, so I have been a bit out of touch, but that's news to me, and I'm glad you called and told me, because it's extraordinarily interesting.
It happened yesterday, actually. It's pretty new.
Uh-oh.
It's pretty recent.
Yeah.
It said suspended until July 1st, 2022.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's a big hot.
Okay, we have Kyle. You have an update for us?
Yeah, the machine that was being used was the microphone was muted, so it was muting all the outbound.
Right. Wow. So we didn't know our own machine had a. Okay. Wonderful.
Okay, we have audio on YouTube now. I've just confirmed.
Thank you, Rob.
Sorry about that, everyone.
You know, what would be helpful is if you confirm that we don't have audio in the future. That would be nice.
Well,
telling us we have audio, okay, that's what we assumed we had.
Okay, so that was a...
Why would anybody still be there now?
In the past...
Why would anybody still be listening?
We had monitored it, so we didn't monitor
it. See, if this was over the air...
I was using the phones. I was helping with this part of it.
No, it's just too much, but... Here's the thing. We need a way of knowing when we don't have an audio feed. That's an important aspect of doing a radio show.
Maybe we should have monitored it ourselves here, but...
Is our caller still with us?
Yeah, I just wanted to wish all of you guys happy, healthy New Year, and thank you again for the Hope Conference. It was the highlight of what was a horrible year because of COVID, so thanks.
Oh, thanks.
And do you know that it's all on YouTube now, and you can relive the entire conference in order just by going to Channel 2600, going to Hope 2020, and just starting from the beginning. You can also see all the performances and workshops as well, which we've never had on YouTube before, so it's all there.
Well, thank you. It's fantastic, and I look forward to doing that at some point in the very near future. So I look forward to you guys doing it again, and I can't thank you enough. Like I said, it meant a lot to me. So you guys stay healthy, and hope to see and listen to you more in the coming year. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your call, and we'll see you at the next Hope. Okay, so now that we, again, apologies to all the people who are just starting to hear us now. Well, at least the good news is that we've been recording on our end, so that, yeah, YouTube doesn't, apparently won't have audio of that. But here's the thing that threw me. I kept giving out the phone number, and when I gave out the phone number, people were calling, so that told me that people were hearing me. Right? So why were they calling, and Helen didn't tell us we didn't have a feed?
I don't know. Maybe there was some chatter elsewhere that people knew we were going to be and we're trying anyway. I don't know. I mean, okay, we have another call.
We're going to have a bunch of calls.
You want to hit one?
If we have to, yeah, probably good idea. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Good evening, Off the Hook Overtime.
Bobson, you can probably tell us better than anybody what has been going out over YouTube.
Well, the picture was on, but the audio only came on 2 minutes ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I didn't check the mic on the laptop.
I hear you have recordings, so that's...
We'll post it, yeah. There were a couple calls. It was a great conversation.
Why was my microphone muted on my computer? I didn't mute it.
I have no idea. I only saw it because there's like an amber light on that
this
specific
damn
button.
Computer, you know, in addition to Google that I'm upset at, I'm upset at my own computer. You know, I have many computers. This one happens to be running Windows 10. Windows 10 is the most annoying operating system ever created because it just reboots whenever it feels like it. Even when you tell it, don't do that, it does it anyway. And when it does it, it resets things, takes away your settings, and you have things like muted microphones for no reason. So I'm pretty livid about that.
It's the devil.
Between missing the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn and this, I don't know how I'm going to keep it together. I really don't.
Hey, Bobson, did you see the conjunction?
There isn't any...
Oh, come on, you get Jupiter and Saturn over in Bulgaria, don't you?
Well, yeah, but the view to the west from where I live is very obstructed by buildings.
Yeah, the west has that effect on Eastern Europe, I know.
It's just that I know there are some people who got nice pictures who went to the nearby mountain on that, and I'm sorry you didn't get to see it, because when I heard about it, I thought, hey, I hope Emmanuel hears about this, because it seems like something he would want to observe, and I was disappointed to find out that you weren't able to.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed myself, but again, as I said on the show yesterday, you know, I'll get over this if something else, like, only happens once every 10 lifetimes happens and I get to see it, such as, you know, a supernova or, an alien encounter of some sort. Eclipses, no, I'm sorry, eclipses happen a lot, so that doesn't count. Asteroids don't count. Comets don't even count because you get a bunch of those sometimes. A good comet, though, the kind you can see in the daytime, all right, you know, I'll accept that. Seriously, I feel completely ripped off. I really do, because this was something I was looking forward to, and the clouds just moved in just enough to obscure it 3 days in a row, and now it's gone. And no point crying over it.
I've only seen photographs of it, and not much in terms of photography.
Photographs don't do it justice, and we did see, Kyle and I went up to Tennessee and saw the total solar eclipse a couple of years ago. Nothing compares seeing that in person. No picture can possibly do that justice. So these things, they need to be seen.
I missed that because I was geographically indisposed, as you can probably figure out.
Well, Bobson, any other remarks from you? We're going to try and get one more phone call in before we sign off.
Well, I enjoyed the show tonight, and I was hearing about the winter over there.
Oh, the show, not this part that we weren't broadcasting. Okay.
And I heard about someone was complaining about the shoveling of snow, and I remember how much I'm missing the type of weather that gets one to shovel snow, because it's a great workout in my view that I wouldn't even get in a...
Yes, you're absolutely right, Bobson. I was sore for several days after dealing with the driveway, the balcony. I used to live in Vermont, which is quite far up north.
I remember years ago when I used to work at a company that had a football-sized parking lot for the employees. One winter we needed to get the people's cars out of the foot or 2.5 feet deep snow, and it was great fun to, with nothing else to worry about in terms of not much work was happening those days, so it was great fun to shovel around the snow and get breathe in the fresh air and all that stuff, but oh well.
Yeah, it is fun. Now we have these gigantic piles of snow taller than me, and I'm really wondering how long they're going to last from a perspective of a science experiment, because they're self-insulating at that point, right? They're so cold, and it's so cold outside. I'm really wondering, you know, if these giant piles that we have are going to be here until February, March. Could be kind of interesting.
Well, when you pile it up like this, the structures of it changes in a way that makes it much more durable, unfortunately. So it's not like the fluffy snow that when you shine the sun on it, it will melt, but you know, you restructure the tiny pieces of ice into something solid like a pile of snow, it may last until April, and so on some occasions I remember from my childhood.
Yeah, we all seem to remember it that way. We all seem to remember lots more snow when we were kids than we get now. But hopefully those days return. Hopefully we get a good winter this year. Bobson, always good to hear from you, and stay safe out there in Bulgaria, and we hope to see you again soon.
Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for the great shows, and I'm looking forward to the recording. So the first 24 minutes of the overtime.
Yeah, we got to figure out how do we get that up onto YouTube. But we'll have it on our website.
But
we have to get it onto YouTube somehow too.
You could probably add.
Don't need it on YouTube. Same as I got the recording.
Yeah, but here's the thing. YouTube automatically makes it for you when you have a live stream. It's going to automatically make us one with 20 minutes of dead air. So we have to replace that somehow and make it seem the same as if YouTube was making it, so that it looks like the other ones.
What I'm saying is the archives on FTP2600.com, which are...
We can put a link.
Yeah, you know that.
We'll put a link in the comments or something. Or we can add an audio track.
All this extra work we have to do now.
I'm being a bit selfish, but yeah, it's very useful for someone such as myself.
All right, Bobson, be good. Thanks thanks for calling. And we're going to try and get one more phone call in. 802-321-4225. But yeah, we're gonna have to do that. We're gonna have to somehow figure out how to pretend that's the YouTube archive that we're putting up on the YouTube channel and get rid of the one that it's making now that's defective.
It sounds like news, like a rewriting history. You know, that's not what occurred. What occurred was silence.
And what's amazing is that I can make a YouTube stream of silence and just one picture that doesn't move, and it's not going to say anything. It's not going to say, by the way, you're not recording anything, you're not streaming anything. And, you know, nice flashing warning sign saying no audio would be nice.
It may have had a little bit of a banner alert, but we were not watching that.
It's right in front of me. I didn't see any banner alert. So.
Okay. Sometimes it does that.
All right. Well, we're going to wait a couple minutes to see if we get another phone call. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Alex, go ahead.
As sort of a line in the sand for posterity here, during our broadcast on WBAI, mm-hmm. today, 3 December 2020, during that time period, Trump apparently had pardoned Paul Manafort. And I know we didn't get to the issue of pardons during the show. We wanted to discuss the potential pardons of Snowden and Assange.
Yeah, let's talk about this, because this is something that's really on my mind and bugging me a bit. I know we don't agree on who should get pardons and who shouldn't get pardons, but it just annoys the crap out of me to see all these people fawning over Trump, saying, oh, you know, it'll be so good for your image, please do that. Look, you're a bastard. You're a jerk. And us asking you for anything is the worst possible thing. But if you have any modicum of self-respect or decency, you should do this. that's the tone I want to see them take. To see people on the left, you know, basically praising Trump and thinking that he's going to do something that they want, it just strikes me as the wrong move. Gila.
So it all happened while we were on the air, and I kept getting alerts on the phone. Things were blowing up. And I saw a statement that came out from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, which I just thought really encapsulated the whole thing brilliantly. And because it wasn't just Paul Manafort that he pardoned tonight, he also pardoned Roger Stone, and he pardoned Charles Kushner, Jared's father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, President Trump has made it clear that he believes the purpose of the pardon is to bail out rich white men connected to him. Trump has turned an instrument of mercy and justice into just another way for him to be corrupt.
Well, you're not being entirely...
It's just a little butt drop.
You're not being entirely fair there, because it's not just rich white men connected to him. It's also war criminals. He's pardoning them as well.
Right. No, absolutely. I am honestly terrified every time I see a breaking news alert on my phone, because you never know what's coming next.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying.
It is terrifying. And, let me ask you, Alex, again, we'll give out the phone number one more time. If we don't get another phone call, we're just going to end this discussion afterwards. 802-321-4225. Alex, when something like what we have witnessed over the past couple of days has happened, where war criminals, people who have participated in massacres of innocent civilians in a foreign land and have been sentenced to life in prison, or 9/11 hijackers, you know, when Trump pardons people like that, is there any recourse afterwards, after they're let go? Can some kind of international court intervene? Is there anything that can be done?
Probably not. Probably not. Perhaps, you know, there may be for many of these offenses for which people have been pardoned, I think the statute of limitations, at least in state laws, have probably run already. So these people are probably beyond the reach of the law right now, but they are obviously not immune to the court of public opinion and people ostracizing them and whatnot. But it really is, you know, and I think to go back to Gila's point, this really speaks to the most vile, ugly sort of nepotism. In so many respects, he has just pardoned the people who were connected to him, had benefited him in some way, and then other vile personalities, you know, almost seemingly at random. And I think Gila's quote there was really, really, you know, right on. Unfortunately, you know, this is a plenary power of the president, and he can do with it what he sees fit. But generally, we have presidents that are more mentally fit and ethically fit than the person that we've had in the White House for the last 4 years. Thank God he will be going out, you know, hopefully without a bang, with something akin to a whimper. But again, I mean, look, he has on the table the ability to pardon both Assange and Snowden. In my opinion, I don't think he should pardon Snowden. I think Assange is very questionable and more likely to be pardoned by Trump for the very reasons that Gila had mentioned, which is that he's within the orbit of Roger Stone.
Let me just ask you a crazy question, Alex. Could he just pardon everybody? Can he just say, everybody's in prison now, you all get to go home? Could he do that? Is our Constitution that screwed up that he could actually do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I would guess, you know, perhaps he could, but, you know, you might need to specifically...
Okay, you know what? That is a broken constitution. I'm sorry. I bow down to the forefathers and all that crap, but come on already. To give one guy that kind of power is wrong.
Look, yeah, I have clients in the MDC and the Metropolitan Detention Center that are way more deserving of pardons than Paul Manafort, for example. And, you know, what if you could pardon people essentially as a class, right? That's what you're asking. What if you could just pardon everybody who's incarcerated on federal drug offenses that, you know, fell into certain categories of the federal sentencing guidelines that we know now today are unfair and racially discriminatory? I think that would be great if something like that happened. Right, wouldn't it, you know, to empty the prisons of these people that shouldn't have been there in the first place?
Absolutely. Well, how about this? How about, you know, you do good deeds. You're like Mother Teresa. You do amazing things, and you help humanity, and everybody says that you're a great person. you get a pardon. Now, you didn't commit a crime, so you don't have to worry about it, but you get handed a pardon which you can give to somebody else because you've proven yourself to be a good person. In that world, Trump would not get any pardons, believe me, but the good people of the world would help decide should this person be imprisoned or not. And I think that might actually be, oh, it might sound crazy, I'm sure people will say, but is the system we have now any less crazy?
Well, you know, governors also have the pardon power as well, you know, to pardon with respect to state law offenses. You know, and that's interesting, you know, I think on many, many levels. And that's also been subject to abuse and exploitation over the last several decades as well. You know, there's some egregious examples of that. But, you know, the one that gets the most attention, obviously, every 4 years are these pardons that happen on the way out. And it is not just a Republican phenomenon that where the pardon power is abused. Remember Bill Clinton pardoning, I think it was Mark Rich on his way out, which was very controversial at the time, and another form of nepotism and cronyism. And so this is, again...
What, one person? Or did he do it to a bunch of people?
Well, I think he did it to a bunch of people as well. He didn't just pardon Mark Rich, but that was one of the more controversial pardons that he had. But look, there are so many people that are more deserving of pardons than people that just happen to be within the orbit of the president.
Yeah.
There should be a fairer way to make these determinations rather than the whim and fancy of whoever's sitting in that seat.
Seeing war criminals pardoned is something that really, really affects me. And I think it is going to permanently damage our reputation in the world. When, you know, it took 7 years for those people to even be tried. After this horrible incident, and now to just walk free, it just says that the United States has no real respect for law when it comes to applying it to its own citizens or favored citizens. Anyway, let's call it a night. Thank you for those people who listen. We're sorry about the outage. We're going to fix it. We'll put it online properly. And, you know, it's interesting, this was our longest overtime, too, even though it wasn't on the air. Maybe that's a secret. We'll try to do it right next week. Write to us, oth@2600.com. Good night.
Happy New Year.
Well, we're going to be on before New Year's, Alex.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, all right.
Say something else.
Happy any other holiday observances you might have this week.
There you go.